Catholic dioceses across the country have been shrinking for years. Fewer families are attending Mass and giving donations. Fewer men are pursuing the priesthood. As a result, last month, the Pittsburgh Diocese began implementing its largest consolidation of parishes in decades. 90.5 WESA's Virginia Alvino Young reports on how the diocese got to this point.
Western Pennsylvania's Catholic population has a long history.
Wow, we can look back to the 18th century if you want to go that far back, to the French fur trappers.
Paula Kane is chair of contemporary Catholic studies at the University of Pittsburgh. She says the Catholic trappers converged at Fort Duquesne, but it wasn't until the 19th century that Pittsburgh really grew through immigration. Enough Irish and German Catholics came that the Vatican established the Pittsburgh Diocese in 1843. It was among the first dioceses in the U.S. as the country expanded westward. Kane says there was a race to evangelize what was considered a mission territory.
And it was thought that this was a dangerous Protestant land in which the faith of Catholics would be imperiled. So the goal of the Vatican was to make sure Catholics did not, you know, leave their tradition and become Protestants.
It's towards the turn of the century through the 1920s that Pittsburgh sees its biggest influx of Catholic immigrants.
So that's when the steel mills draw in people after the Civil War. And we have lots of Poles, Italians, Slavs, Hungarians, Lithuanians, and so forth, who are all Catholic of different types.
Kane says in the early 20th century, Pittsburgh's working class was about 75% Catholic immigrants.
This growth phase involved the creation of a whole material infrastructure for the Catholic Church. So a rectory building, a convent building, a school building, a church building, a network of shrine and pilgrimage sites.
For a time, Kane says Catholics struggled to gain acceptance in Protestant America. They couldn't go to Ivy League schools and had a hard time finding employment and getting loans.
And I think that explains a lot of the pride that they had in their own parish world, their parish communities, the delight in seeing steeples go up against all these Protestant steeples that were there. You know, they really offered a symbol of Catholic power that was built in stone.
Around this time, there's also the establishment of Catholic universities, Catholic insurance companies, and Catholic labor unions. 66-year-old Marguerite Smith says she loved growing up Catholic.
It was awe-inspiring, and it was, you know, candles and organ and incense and Latin.
She's been a member of St. Agnes Parish in West Mifflin for 40 years. She says when she was younger, the whole world seemed Catholic.
It's all I really knew. I had an aunt that was a nun. It was very much a part of our whole life. You know, the Last Supper hung in the dining room, you know, there were crosses everywhere, and I was personal friends with the Blessed Mother, you know.
The families around her were involved, too. She says every kid in her class took First Communion and was confirmed years later. But these days, the folks helping out around the parish are the same ones who have been doing it for decades.
There are two of us that decorate the church for Christmas, for Easter. Now, we still put it in the bulletin. We're going to be here if you'd like to help.
Smith says in the last 25 years, the number of families in her parish has been cut in half. She tracks some of the decline back to the 1960s, when the Vatican attempted to make the church more contemporary and accessible. More power to the people, less Latin. Some people loved it, some didn't.
And it was slow. You know, it wasn't immediate. It wasn't like the next week when they made the first change at Mass that, you know, half the people didn't show up. Because people went, and it didn't look familiar anymore. So it started to seem not as important.
Around that time, there was another big change. A renewal of the prohibition against contraception turned off a lot of Catholics. Some priests and nuns left their orders. And by then, immigrant communities were more assimilated and affluent, and less involved in their parishes. In the meantime, all those costly stained glass windows and organ pipes still needed to be maintained. Smith's daughter, Marguerite Halden, is among those who hope to revitalize Pittsburgh's church. The 31-year-old is a go-to volunteer for fundraisers and events at St. Therese Parish in Munhall.
So we do the quarterly donut making, my husband and I together. So it's part of the youth and young adult ministry.
And that young adult ministry is pretty small. It reflects a saying you often hear around the diocese, that you see more funerals than baptisms these days. And there are numbers to back that up. In 1960, there were more than 24,000 infant baptisms in the diocese. A few years ago, there were just over 4,000. Mass attendance is down sharply, too. When the diocese started tracking it around 1990, 300,000 people attended. Now, that number is down by more than 50%. Halden says it's hard to compete with what she calls a me-centric society.
You know, it's like, what do we value on Sundays? We value the Steelers football game, and we value sleeping in, right?
And it's not just attendance in decline, but leadership. And the shortage of priests is only getting worse, with older clergy retiring. Halden says it was clear that something had to give.
For a lot of Catholics, in a sense, the writing was on the wall. We were seeing priests being really, really pressed for time. They were being split between multiple parishes. They were truly just unable to do the job that they were asked to do, being stretched so thin.
In the 1990s, former Pittsburgh Bishop Donald Worrell reduced the number of parishes by about 100. In 2012, current Bishop David Zubik continued that restructuring effort with On Mission for the Church Alive. It's a plan that places 188 parishes into 57 parish groupings. The idea is to create fewer but stronger communities.
You know, we looked at it as we want to revitalize our Catholic community. We want them to not feel like I'm this one person in this one church and there's no one else to help me.
And with half the parishes operating in the red, the new model also consolidates expenses. Halden was a member of the On Mission Commission. In order to advise the bishop, the group analyzed data and collected a lot of community feedback. Ultimately, the task was to put multiple parishes together, taking into account funding, geography, and culture. She says it was like solving a giant jigsaw puzzle.
Okay, if this is the new grouping, what will that look like? If this is a possible grouping, what will that look like? Also, what is the savings and the debt?
The changes coincide with the drop in approval by Catholics of how well they believe the church is handling widespread clergy sexual abuse scandals. Marguerite Halden says the On Mission Commission didn't focus on reasons why people were leaving the church.
But you also have to continually have this positive outlook of our goal is to revitalize, our goal is to make things better. So it's not that you're dismissing negative things that have happened within the Catholic Church, but you're looking at a bigger picture of how can we grow from this.
And while there were some mixed feelings throughout the diocese about the reorganization, its long-term impact on growth is yet to be seen. I'm Virginia Alvino-Young, 90.5 WESA News.